Hi, I'm Clarice Larson, and you're listening to KTOO. A ban on social media accounts for children under 14 passed the Alaska House today. The bill passed with significant bipartisan support, despite some opposition citing privacy and constitutional concerns. If passed by the Senate and signed into law, the ban would also require 14 and 15-year-olds to get written parental consent before creating social media accounts. The social media proposal was added late in the process as an amendment to another bill and hasn't been subject to public hearings or legislative scrutiny. Homer Republican Representative Sarah Vance sponsored the original bill, which she describes as an effort to protect children from pornography. Vance is one of several members from both parties who say they expect the Senate to make changes to the social media components of the bill.
I want to let everyone know that I'm willing to work with those in the Senate on what the full intent of that is so that we can make this a more robust package and really help do everything that we can to protect our children.
The bill passed by a 33-6 vote with support from Democrats, Republicans, and Independents. But some lawmakers expressed concern. Representative Genevieve Mina, an Anchorage Democrat who spoke out in support of social media restrictions for children, says the age verification element of the bill gives her some pause.
Age verification technology continues to improve, and there might be a scenario in the future where it is safe enough to protect people from privacy concerns, but really, I am very concerned about privacy for all individuals who might have to comply with this type of commercial age verification technology.
Fairbanks Democratic Representative Ashley Carrick was another of the six who voted against the bill. She says she's not sure it'll stand up in court.
Alaska has very strict rights to privacy in our Constitution. We're one of the states with some of the most strident and strong languages around right to privacy. And I do think that if this were to be up against a legal challenge, it could definitively probably be ruled as unconstitutional.
Age verification bills aimed at adult websites have a mixed record in federal court, though some recent laws in other states have been allowed to stand. Social media restrictions for children have been blocked on First Amendment grounds by federal courts in some states. The bill would also allow parents to be reimbursed by the state up to $100 a year to pay for parental control software. The package now heads to the Senate. And the Alaska House of Representatives also passed a bill on Wednesday that would put more guardrails on the property assessment process in the state. As KTOO reports, supporters say the bill will make the process more fair and transparent for taxpayers. Last year, many residents in Juneau and Haines said they saw steep jumps in their property assessments, large enough that some questioned whether their assessors were being transparent and fair. Representative Julie Coulomb, an Anchorage Republican, sponsored a bill that she says would tackle some of their concerns.
HB 347 put some baseline requirements in place to protect the taxpayer while preserving the important principle of local control.
The bill would stop assessors from raising a property's value during an appeal, establish new certification standards for assessors, and require a response from the government if you present an appraisal that doesn't match theirs. It also changes the default for who hears tax appeals to an appointed board of equalization instead of the municipality's locally elected officials. Some residents have also urged the legislature to cap how much the assessed value of a property can go up, but neither this bill nor a companion bill in the Senate does that. Representative Sarah Hannon, a Juneau Democrat, calls it a, quote, fairly clean-cut bill and says it only aims to standardize the appeal process in municipalities across the state, not expand the state's tax authority.
It simply sets up standards to make sure that citizens are treated fairly and have a recourse. And if someone says they're an assessor establishing the tax for you, that you know that they've met a professional standard of governance.
The bill did see some pushback. Representative Jesse Sumner, a Wasilla Republican, argued that putting limits on raising values after appeals could incentivize more people to file them. And he fears big landowners could find new ways to game the system.
I think that we may inadvertently be causing a lot of headache for our local governments in relation to those very large property taxpayers.
But the bill sailed through the House on Wednesday with a wide bipartisan majority, and with Juneau's delegation speaking strongly in favor. The House reconsidered the bill on Friday afternoon, but passed it again. The bill now heads to the Senate. Senator Jesse Kuehl, a Juneau Democrat, introduced a nearly identical bill in the Senate earlier this year. He says he's optimistic the bill will have support there. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson. More Alaskans died of opioid overdose last year than ever before, according to preliminary data. And the state also reported the nation's highest per capita jump in opioid overdose deaths. Experts say fentanyl is to blame. And as Alaska Public Media's Rachel Cassandra reports, practitioners say more people are mixing fentanyl with methamphetamines and other drugs, which is risky.
Lindsay Cotto is the director of the Division of Public Health in Alaska. She says overdose deaths can have a ripple effect of grief, especially in smaller communities.
I've lost many friends to the opioid epidemic, family members, etc. Personally, these numbers are absolutely heartbreaking. Professionally, these numbers are heartbreaking. But I also know that we're up against a lot.
Cotto says about 342 Alaskans died last year of opioid overdose. The state's rates of overdose have climbed over the past 5 years, and Alaska is scrambling to respond to an epidemic that continues to shift form. This third wave of the epidemic is driven by synthetic opioids like fentanyl, which is up to 100 times more potent than morphine. Supply is seemingly unlimited compared to drugs like heroin or cocaine, which rely on crops. And in a state without enough access to substance abuse treatment, Alaskans remain vulnerable to both addiction and overdose. Cotto says the state gave out over 46,000 overdose reversal kits last year. And without those, she says, the numbers of people dying would have been higher.
I don't want those that have been working so hard in this space to feel like they have not accomplished something. I think the one thing I've found out in this field is that we don't ever hardly get to know the number of lives that we save.
Cotto says opioid reversal drugs are still important for reducing deaths. Most overdoses happen with someone else present. Dr. Sarah Spencer is an addiction medicine specialist in Nanilchik. She says she's noticed most of her patients now combine methamphetamine with fentanyl, which can be more risky. She says it's a common misconception that stimulants like meth can keep someone from overdosing on opioids.
Fentanyl in particular is like a very incredibly potent, super fast acting respiratory depressant. And a stimulant is not able to make a difference in that. It's just not strong enough to like actually help to keep the person awake.
Spencer says people sometimes take fentanyl in a powder form, but most often in counterfeit blue pills. Most counterfeit pills in the country now have a potentially lethal dose of fentanyl. And she says people can overdose when smoking fentanyl too. Spencer says many populations within Alaska are underserved for addiction treatment. She says the state doesn't do a good job of getting medications for treating opioid addiction to incarcerated people. That would be one of the biggest ways to reduce overdose rates in the state, Spencer says.
They're 120 times more likely to die the first 2 weeks that they're released. It would reduce our state's entire overdose rate if we had universal availability of medication for opioid use disorder throughout a person's incarceration and that warm handoff to treatment afterwards.
11% of overdoses in the state in 2022 were people recently released from incarceration. Those numbers haven't been calculated yet for last year. Cotto says that's something on the Division of Public Health's radar, and they hope to strengthen relationships with the Department of Corrections. She also says the state needs to think beyond just reducing deaths and look at prevention.
In addition to keeping people alive, how are we focused on helping people thrive? How do we go a little bit more upstream in our prevention and think more about how we can keep people healthy?
The state plans to release final data on opioid overdoses in Alaska in September, including which demographics were hit hardest. Cotto says she also wants to look carefully at how youth are being impacted by overdose then. In Anchorage, I'm Rachel Cassandra.
An Oregon man convicted of murdering an Anchorage teenager more than four decades ago has been sentenced to 50 years in prison. Judge Andrew Peterson sentenced 67-year-old Donald McQuaid today in the death of 16-year-old Shelley Connolly, according to the Alaska Department of Law. Connolly's body was found along the Seward Highway south of Anchorage in 1978. The case went cold for decades until 2019, when DNA evidence and genetic genealogy led Alaska State Troopers to arrest McQuaid. Ms. Quaid's defense argued that the DNA was the state's only evidence against him, but a jury found him guilty of first-degree murder in December. Today, Peterson said McQuaid has lived a full life and watched his children grow, a privilege Connolly and her family were denied. Juno got to enjoy a welcome sunny afternoon today with temperatures reaching as high as 61. But this evening, it's going to drop down to 45 degrees later tonight. In Juno, I'm Clarice Larson. Thank you so much for listening.